Hello and good day to you from episode 35 of our podcast series Project Breakaway, a metaphorical and literal time in the day when we here at Predator Cycling take some time away from working in the back shop to come and share with our listeners what we're doing, how we're doing it, what it takes to do it, our ideas, our innovative success stories, and even our missteps and failures. If you find yourself with an interest in bicycles, composite manufacturing, out-of-the-box design, or even curiosities beyond, I encourage you to stick with us, settle in, and learn a little. I'm Courtney B., co-owner and project manager of Predator Cycling. I'm here with my partner, Aram Goganian, the other co-owner, CEO, lead designer and engineer, and toddler cycling coach. How's it going, Aram?
Going great, and enjoying being a toddler cycling coach.
That's yeah. Cool. So the little guy, he's almost four now. We made his bike actually a year ago. The Easter Bunny brought his bike.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we made it. Easter Bunny delivered it.
Yes.
Last year. And I think maybe he was just a little too small on the small side for the frame.
Yeah. He also just quite
he wasn't into it.
He didn't. Yeah. He wasn't.
Anyway, in these last couple of weeks, he's just been taking off.
Yes, I can barely keep up with him now.
So he is the only almost four-year-old that we know with a carbon fiber...
Mono-sided chainstay and fork.
Yeah, and a little tiny pair of Predator major handlebars.
Yes, because why not?
So he is just, he likes to say, I'm fast, I'm the fastest on this bike. And yeah. I know that inside you're just like melting.
It's amazing. I love it. It's cool. We've had a bunch of riders and stuff rock our gear, but I think the coolest one is building a bike for your kid and letting them rock it. And yeah, so. And he's even calling out certain riders that ride our bars, and he tells me he's faster than them. So it's pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
I love it.
And he's doing figure eights now on the street.
He's doing figure eights.
It was funny. He was telling you, Daddy, do this trick. And then do a figure eight. And then you'd have to do it and follow him.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I enjoyed it. He's full of tricks.
Yeah, so that's cool. So now we have to you have to start planning his next bike.
Yeah, that's my goal. My goal is to make all the bikes for the boys.
With pedals.
Now with pedals and brakes. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that's fun. And let's just dive right in.
Yeah, let's do it.
So last episode, we talked about the aero bar extensions mm-hmm. that you had been manufacturing and testing, mm-hmm. and then you sent them out for real race testing.
Yep.
So now, since the last episode, we've made some social media posts, and we've said, you know, who was using them and where they were used. So let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's do it.
So your buddy Corey Williams,
yes,
raced them at what race?
Valley of the Sun stage race.
Is that in?
That's in Arizona.
Arizona. Okay. And what's a stage race?
Valley of the Sun.
No, what is a stage race?
Oh, what is a stage race? A stage race is a multi-day race where you
like
have...
Like the tour?
Yes, it's a mini Tour de France.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So each day is like a different thing, and these were used in a time trial.
Yes, the opening stage on this race is a time trial, and which is many stage races. The time trial is the opening.
But why in the Tour de France, the time trial is like in the middle somewhere, right?
Yeah, a lot of times there used to be a prologue, which was like a 5 minute to 10 minute time trial in the beginning before the first stage.
Mm.
So, and also the Tour de France is special. It's 21 days. There's only, three grand tours, which is the Tour de France, the Vuelta, and the Giro d'Italia that are the big 20-day, 19 to 22-day stage races.
So they can just do whatever they want?
Yeah, it's the tour.
Okay.
Can do whatever
so he used them at the Valley of the Sun. Uh-huh. And Corey races for Legion of Los Angeles,
uh-huh.
which is a UCI Continental cycling team.
Yep.
It was started in 2019 by the Williams brothers.
Uh-huh.
And you go way back with Justin, Corey, and CJ.
Yes.
So
that's an understatement, but yes.
Let me say what Legion is, and then you can talk about your history with them. So Legion, according to their website and blasted across social media because they're killing it on social media, is all about increasing diversity and inclusion in cycling.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they have cyclists from, because I guess cycling is kind of like always been like, you know, a dominant white sport. Like when I was golf cycling.
Well, also that, I mean, it's also, I mean, at the pro level, it's been a very white European sport.
Yeah. So.
I mean, it's...
So yeah. they not only do they have inclusion of all races, but they have a lot of women too, which
they have a whole women's team, which is it's not very common for teams to have both a women's and men's team. It's mm-hmm. becoming more common nowadays, but in They're doing a really good job.
I saw this weekend or next weekend or something on social, they're doing a free clinic for kids, juniors. I did see that.
That's super cool. Well, Justin's always been, I mean, all three of them came up through the junior ranks. So,
So let's talk about that with you. So yeah. Arm, you've always, I know CJ the best because he worked at Predator.
Yes, he did. He was for a long time.
Yeah. And we just bonded over Rihanna and his love life 10 years ago. But I've always said that the Williams brothers just have a raw talent for racing and an innate ability to just ride their hearts out and win.
Yes. So they just somehow find the finish line. I don't know how they do it all the time, but they just like, it's like a magnet or something for them.
Okay. So talk about your history with them and why you chose to give Corey the extensions.
Well, test. So, I mean, it's a long story, but I mean, I started racing as a junior on Major Motion is where I spent the majority of my junior life. And that was the same team that Rasan Bahati came up on. He was a couple years ahead of me. And Justin was a competitive junior. I think he was a 13, 14 he was racing when I was in the 17, 18s. And leaving juniors. And I don't know, we just kind of clicked. We got along. We liked to hang out with each other. We'd ride together. And I mean, at that age, when he was 14, I mean, his natural ability was just ridiculous. I mean, you knew he was going to be fast. And he just got getting faster. So we bonded, became friends. And then we kind of always just stayed in touch. I mean, he used to come with me when I used to go get bikes and pick stuff up and go to powder coaters and painters. And I don't know, we just always hung out and we're just really good friends. He designed some of our old kits and helped with some of our testing of some of our early bikes. He raced our first, what we called at the time, the Aero 2, which is a super cool track bike we built. He took that to his first Junior Worlds. He's ridden, I think, pretty much every version model of a bike that we've ever made. Justin has had and ridden and raced. So, I don't know. We go way back. And then CJ, I always knew CJ and Corey because, I mean, they're his younger brothers. But CJ used to harass me. I mean, I'm going to say harass because that's probably the right word. To give him a job. We had our bike shop on Abbott Kinney. He wanted a job in high school. And I finally said yes. I said, okay, fine, come after school. And then he's like, well, I have to come after school and I can only come for 2 hours. And I was like, okay, fine, just do it. Let's just come and see it. And he did really well. He learned to be, his dad is a good mechanic, works on cars, works on bikes, works on everything. And so he had a lot of just natural ability and kind of knew what he was doing a little bit. And he came and became like a pro mechanic. At the shop, he worked on all the bikes and did composite work, repair work, and was like, you know, relevant to this episode. He was one of the big guys behind the major bars. Mm-hmm. He was one of the ones that built a lot of them and helped me build a lot of that. All the high end stuff that we made in composites up until, you know, what is it, 2015, 2016. I mean, CJ was the guy. Mm-hmm. So, and then Corey was one of the first guys to test our major road bars, and probably the most active rider we've ever had on the bars. I mean, he's been a huge supporter of ours and rocked, I mean, countless gear. So, I mean, he rode them, I think, for 3 or 4 years, seasons. He raced on those major bars. Mm-hmm. So it was awesome.
So you gave Corey the AeroBar extensions last week, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, he got his bars. We've been working on it with them since, I think, October, November, we started working on it, the concept, mm-hmm. with him. I've been working on it for a while, but the workflow of how to make them and what we needed and, like, mm-hmm. characteristics was kind of...
So you had a design in your head. You had a design in your head, and you need... So these are custom.
Yes.
For each rider.
Yes, yes.
So
yes,
we're in Nashville. He's in Los Angeles. Explain the process on how to make something custom for someone not in front of you.
Well, it's difficult. So, I mean, it kind of goes back to, like, we've been doing this process of, like, remote custom work, I mean, for 10 years, 15 years now. We came out with our first pilot that we call the Aerodynamicos, which were the first full carbon custom aero bars that we used to make. And we used to, back in the day, the old school way was like, we had like a spec sheet and you'd fill out the spec sheet and we'd make it to that spec. We now do it much differently. So we work a lot with known geometries. So like he had a specialized shiv, time trial frame. So we knew a lot of the geometry points on that to start with. And then we knew his bike fit because he gave us pictures and gave us some data points. And then we would collaboratively build the bike, the bars in 3D, and show it to him. And with references.
The extensions.
The extensions.
Oh, quickly explain what is an aero bar extension.
So an aero bar extension is when you see those guys kind of like in a praying mantis type position when their arms are supported by the elbows and their hands are out in front of the bars. That aero bar. So there's an aero bar, which is the whole system. And the aero bar extension is the part where your elbow goes and your hand goes, holds it. And
so picture a handlebar and then picture these two little like pieces shooting up from the top.
Yeah, basically. And you know, if you think, just I mean, real quick physics, flow,
real CFD. Quick physics with Aram.
All right, I'm gonna try. Okay, I mean, the basic thing is like there's a couple things in aerodynamics are really, really important. Just take a nap. Everyone that doesn't acknowledge, take a 30-second nap. Okay, so you're talking about frontal surface area. You want to try and reduce the frontal surface area and reduce the separation of air so that it makes you don't get a lot of turbulence. And so one of the easiest ways to decrease drag on a bicycle or anything is to decrease the frontal surface area and to keep the wind laminar, so smooth, not in turbulence. Changing your hands, which is the very pretty much the frontest-most thing of the bicycle frame, especially your body, in an optimal position is very beneficial. Done.
Oh, that's it?
That's it. Just to give you an idea of like why aero bars are so expensive.
Put your hands on the front. Important. Like when you're swimming, like when you dive in.
Yes, or like look at like, you know, think about like downhill skiing where they tuck up their arms and put it right in front of their face to go super, super fast. Mm-hmm. It's kind of an intuitive thing to like make yourself small.
Tuck your hands in, make a line, and hope you're fast.
Yes, diving, swimming, okay. Any of those things. It's so just the same concept. So the extensions are
somewhere to put your hand.
Somewhere to put your hand, and you want to put it. Anyways, okay. I'm sure we're going to.
So now you used his geometries and his measurements, and then you threw it in your software.
Yep. So we also do a couple. So that we can do quite a few things. So we can actually take in, like if he didn't at the time have scan data. But we can take 3D scan data and turn those meshes into sub-D models and then modify them and put them into our software and run CFD analysis on it and optimize the position. We can also use photogrammetry to get mesh data in from him. We can also use given points and data points. I mean, the benefit for me is that on especially Corey and Justin and I mean even CJ, the amount of data points that I have on their fits and positions and bikes, I mean, I have so much data going back years. That it's relatively easy. For any cyclist, we can get in a lot of that data in different ways to build the aero bar extensions correctly.
And what makes your aero bar extensions different from someone else's aero bar extensions?
So we have a couple different, well, there's a fundamental approach, which is different, which is we're not going off of just a positional. So we look at a couple different things. The bars we're looking at are to achieve a balance between the optimal efficiency in to achieve the optimal efficiency, which is a balancing act between how much drag you're creating and how much power you can generate. And there's a very fine line between that. And most people that are making a la carte like style aero bar extensions, it's difficult to analyze that in a quantitative manner that can be done remotely. And we have the ability to do that quite a bit. We also, the way we're manufacturing them is very unique. It's our hybrid manufacturing approach we've talked about before, where we're talking about a 3D printed skeleton and a carbon fiber exoskeleton. And that process gives a lot of benefits. There's a lot of benefits to that workflow. So that's another benefit. And I think, you know, we've talked about this countless times before. At Predator, we really talk about optimal efficiency. So threading that needle between, you know, the optimal aerodynamic position as well as the most optimal power output. The whole point is to make you go fast. Let's break records, win bike races, and go fast. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the point. And I think we do that very well. We've made a name for ourselves for doing it, mm-hmm. you know, for almost 20 years.
Well, I mean, even a 3.5-year-old said he's the fastest honest predator.
Done. I rest my case.
Okay, so the arrow bar extensions are a place to put your hands. Now let's talk about where do you put your elbows?
Yes, so we actually designed a carbon fiber armrest support that mounts to the arrow bar extension system itself. And we focus quite a bit of time on making sure, those cups and parts are made to UCI regulations. So that's, you kind of limited there on what you can do. So we made sure that we complied to those UCI regs. And then we went ahead and actually designed a molded pad, which I'm very proud of. So it's a thermoplastic pad, and we mold them in-house, and they're very optimized in their shape and their cross section so that it offers a lot of support, so that, you know, your elbows, your forearms there don't get exhausted. I mean, because I remember when I was racing and the pad would basically just kind of move slowly throughout the race and get shorter and smaller, and then eventually your arm was just resting on the metal pad, like that arm cup.
But the pads are made out of just fabric?
They're stitched fabric, and then
Fabric with like a gel in it.
They usually don't use a gel, they use the foam, because there's a very fine line of threading the needle between weight. So there, we have a slight weight penalty for our pads.
So I feel like ours are kind of heavy.
They're heavier. I'm refining. We've gotten a lot of feedback from Corey, which is really important. I was trying to get a lot of race feedback, and we've been testing out some other parts. Processes on how everything works. So with his feedback now, we're going to start going at taking off some weight and optimizing the bars, mm-hmm. the whole system. So we're going to take down the weight by about 40% on the pads now, with a little redesign. So that should be helpful, and it's still super comfortable. And also, it's kind of funny, but you can actually wash them in the dishwasher.
The pad, because the pads come out.
The pads come off. The production versions will have a very cool little detaching system, so you can pop them off.
We should test that first.
We've already tested the temperature range.
But I mean, like, throw it in a dishwasher.
Let's do it. I'm down.
Because
let's
physics, I don't believe until I see it.
Well, they're actually molded over higher temperatures than what you would get in the dishwasher, so I have no fears. But
okay.
And they're completely chemically, okay. They're great.
But I am pessimist at heart, so
let's do it.
I gotta throw the thing in the dishwasher.
Let's throw it in the dishwasher.
I'll report to you.
So the concept for that is just because you get really disgusting and grimy and sweaty
and gross,
and they just get gross because you're drenched in sweat and salt and just it's just disgusting, and those pads get the worst of it. So being able to pop those off,
hand wash them too. You know,
you just hand wash them. I mean, they wash very easily is my point. And you could even just throw them in the dishwasher to sanitize them. Like it's cool.
Yeah.
That's a cool feature.
So you, have learned a lot from his feedback.
Yep.
And you're going to do some tweaks and some redesign, not a lot of redesign on the actual aero bar extension.
No, it's just, to be honest, it's just, so my whole concept is we simulate, obviously you guys know how much we simulate and test. You know, I basically design the part to adhere to whatever regulations we need and like the strength characteristics. And then for especially prototypes, I basically bump everything up 20 or 30% stronger than what it has to be, just because it's a prototype and I just rather it be heavy and strong than not. Based on his feedback, we definitely have a lot of space where we can remove mass. We can make them quite a bit lighter. Mm-hmm. So the focus is going to be getting them lighter, getting the process a little more refined, get the manufacturing workflow just a little bit more dialed in.
Mm-hmm.
And also the prototyping, like how we actually, the workflow for some of the bars, just getting some of that done and then get final tooling made for the cups and the arm pads.
Okay. So these are all custom. These are not stock bars. So if you want them, you need to reach out and you need to work with us.
Yes.
To get them made.
Yeah. So we're going to have, I mean, we don't have it up yet, but we'll have like a basic form system just to kind of answer some basic questions. And then once you order the bars, we'll basically do a consult. So we'll go over all of your requirements and what you need exactly in detail. And then we'll start getting information and data from you. You'll see the initial prototypes of the renders. And then we'll actually be sending you a 3D printed part that you can actually put on your bike and test the position to make sure it's good before we actually make the final ones.
And the aerobar extensions go on all handlebars? Handlebars?
They go on time trial bikes, tri bikes, and track bikes for pursuit event type bikes. They go on most, they don't go on road bikes or
brands.
Yes. It fits on any brand. And so if we don't have the mounting hardware designed for your particular bike, no problem. We'll send us, if we get the data points, we can absolutely make it for that.
We'll figure it out. That's what we do best.
We will make it for any bar.
Okay. And timeline on these? To make it on the website.
So these bars will probably, I'm going to call them in full production in the next couple weeks here. I'm just finalizing the small little bits and pieces. The aero bar extensions themselves will be done in the next probably 2 weeks. The arm pads, final tooling molds will be a week or two after that. And it will be more information will be on the site in the coming weeks. I would say being able to be ordered, which is what everyone's been asking us, is in the next 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay.
To be conservative.
Cool.
Hopefully sooner. Okay. But if you are interested in the bars, please shoot us an email, message us. We have a list of people that have been interested. Happy to engage in conversations now before we actually start accepting orders and get the ball rolling.
Yep. info@predatorcycling.com.
Yeah.
Okay, so we wanted to talk about a quick follow-up to these extensions.
Yes.
On the manufacturing line.
Yeah.
And that is the newly updated and revised Pilot Track handlebars.
Yep.
So we launched the original handlebars back in 2016-ish.
Yep.
And you've always made the one-piece major handlebars.
Yep.
But the Pilots were track-specific.
Yeah.
And they were newer and crazier and more angular. Mm-hmm. And then we realized that they needed some loving, and the process of manufacturing was not super efficient. So they were kind of paused or tired, and now they are coming back.
Yes, that's a really good explanation of the whole process. Yeah. So, the original majors we built, I think we started in 2010 is when it all started. And I think in 2011, 2012 is when we started making track specific ones, which made it very popular in the 6 day races and all the, the mass start stuff, which evolved the Pilots. And now we're working on the update to that Pilot. And the UCI changed some of the rules on how they interpret the touch points of a bike and whatnot. So that's kind of changing the designs of our Pilots.
You know what we don't need during a pandemic? The UCI to change rules on us. Can't we just all race how we raced?
I guess, as a manufacturer
coming from that point of having to redesign, because if the UCI changes rules, that's not just us having to change everything, that's every bike brand having to change their stuff.
So, but
especially when supplies are hard to find.
Okay, so I completely understand where you're coming from, but the thing is, they didn't really change the rule.
Enforcing. When is it a good time to start enforcing things?
Well, it's
when everything is chaotic and haywire. Interpretation.
It's a good point. You make a valid point. I'm not disagreeing with you.
I bet I'm not the only person angry. I bet all sorts of bike brands.
Yes.
They have product out there, and now they have to redesign it.
Yeah. Well, it's not so much they have to redesign it. It's the fact of how riders have to use it has changed.
Right.
So the rule we're talking about is you cannot support in a mass start event. You are not allowed to use your forearms as a support point for riding. So you can't rest your arms on the tops of your bars anymore.
That's the only way I ride.
I would love to see you ride a bike like that.
But it's also a flat bar.
the point is that you can't, so this has changed the way people use the bars and the way the original majors were designed. So we made the new design of the majors, the major Pilot.
But this is just for track or for also road racing?
This is also for, the rule applies to road.
Because when I watch the tour, everyone's resting their hands on the bar anymore. And they're just chilling when they're doing
if you watch Paris-Nice, in Paris-Nice they did not. No one was
there. Did anyone do it? Did anyone get kicked out?
I forget who it is, but someone was actually
disqualified. Do you just forget after years and years and years of doing it? And then you're just like, oh, I need a break. And then you're just like, oh, no. Did they see me?
Oh, my God.
Or can you call out another racer?
No, an official has to see it. It has to be seen by an official. I don't know what the rules are on tape.
If you want to be a turd, can you call out another racer? Like in golf, because that's how I relate.
Yeah.
Like if a girl in high school cursed, I could report her for cursing, because you can't curse on a golf course. And she could either get a penalty or just kicked out. rat on people.
If that rule applied in cycling, I mean, it would chase. It would change the GC in all races.
Well, now they have people mic'd and stuff, right? So you can't really.
Yeah, they have race. I don't know the rules on how it applies to like video footage of events and.
Because people rat each other out in racing anyway, don't they? Sometimes they're like, hey, they might have an electric thing in their bike.
Last Tour de France, yes. Yeah. There was rumors about noises coming from certain teams.
You should go into their hotel room and destroy everything. You see, look, Charlie is with me. He's growling. He doesn't like it either.
So, this is the top. I'm not an expert. I'm not an expert on UCI rule enforcement.
Well, I got off of that, but anyway.
But so this is an interesting conversation. I'm just not an expert in the category.
Our pilots are UCI legal.
Yeah, they are. They adhere to all of the UCI regulations.
Okay.
Is what they do currently. They are, it is by far the new pilots are the most radical bar that we have ever.
And they look vastly different from the ones that came out in 2016, right? They're like narrower. I remember they were pretty wide.
Well, we always made them like four. Cause, well, okay.
So oh, no, just, that was specific to your size.
Well, because it was specific to what riders had wanted. And a lot of, back in the original pilots were really popular in the six-day racing. Made a bunch of six-day bars for those. And they all wanted 40 and 42 width bars.
Is that large?
That's normal, medium, small. I mean, like a small road bar is a 40. It's probably big on the track, but it's normal on the road. But six-day guys wanted that because of the hand positions they used. Mm. In the trend has become to go smaller and smaller, as down as low as, you know, 32.
So are these bars. Pilot handlebars that are we offering different? Are we offering one width?
So the way we're doing it currently is that unless we get a major request, so the new pilots are going to be built custom. They're custom built bars. And I say custom built. The idea is the custom part is the stem and mounting system is custom. The actual bar width and bar design themselves was planned to keep stock. But if we get a request for a wider bar, we can make it. But the CFD and the optimization has been made this width. You know, kind of take it how you want. But it is basically about a 35 width at the base bar and about a 30 width at the tops where kind of the hoods
are. So much smaller.
Yes, it's smaller. They're definitely smaller, and they're definitely more.
They're not as narrow. Am I putting a picture of this up?
Yeah, I'll put a picture.
Okay,
up.
I'll put a render.
Yeah, a render.
Okay, and then you can decide for yourself.
Excuse me. You say narrow. They're not as narrow. Explain
like the tubing part, like this part.
The cross section.
No one can see my hands right now.
No. The cross section. Yes. Yeah.
Narrow. The other ones are wide.
They are a little narrower in that perspective. Yes, you're right. That has a lot to do with because the fact that the tops are so much shorter. It's funny. We've shown a couple of the people that originally rode our major bar systems, mm-hmm. and they got really excited because it was exciting for me as they saw it and they immediately saw the hand position options, and they're like, "Oh, you can use it like this, like this, like this." I'm like, "Yes." Like, that's the point. Yes, we did that. We're going back 10 years here of racers that have ridden our bars. And even some of the guys that had bars 10 years ago are still using the bars today. Mm-hmm. So the amount of feedback that we've gotten is insane. And so we have tried really hard to take all of that feedback and put it into the new bars. And I think we kind of thread that needle pretty well. And now with the ability to make them for any style bike, so if you have a look and you want it to integrate directly into the look mount, we can make that happen. If you have a TK1, we can mount directly to a TK1. Any of those bikes that are out there, if we don't have a mount designed for it, like on our aero bars, just get us the data points, give us a model, a knuckle to the stem that you use, the mount point that you use, and we will make a custom mount for it, no problem.
Okay.
And that's the beauty of this new bar, because that whole system is not one piece.
So right now it's another custom product that you need to reach out to us at info@predatorcycling.com with questions.
We should be putting it up on the site soon.
That was my next question. When do you think that would be available?
I'm hoping to put, we have 3D printed samples and we're working on carbon samples right now. And hoping at the by the end of the month to have fully functional prototypes. That's kind of my goal.
So like end of spring, first of summer. When is track season?
Track season's it's already yeah. mostly over the track season for okay. It's off season for the cycling, but we should have information on our website in the next couple of weeks, and we should the process. Okay, so like the big thing is that the manufacturing platform that we're using is the same as the AeroBar extensions. Mm-hmm. So the data travels between the two products very seamlessly. We have a couple small custom machine parts that we're just waiting on, and then as soon as those parts are here, the clamp systems for the mounting screws, we have to get custom made. Those are being made, and then once that's available, we can start making prototypes quickly. Cool. So,
yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
So there's the pilot track class.
Yes.
And eventually that will lead to the major road bar redesign, but we're not going to talk about that today. We'll talk about that another time.
Yes, and I want to talk about that.
Okay. So things to mention. Aram, you are going to be a presenter at NVIDIA's GTC 2022 again. You'll be discussing how Predator utilizes Omniverse platform, which we covered extensively in episodes 20 and 21 on this podcast. Again, Omniverse is an interconnected 3D design simulation and virtual reality ecosystem that offers a multitude of solutions for a multitude of problems. Mm-hmm. Don't we all have problems?
Yes.
In our use case, we use it to digitize workflows within our bicycle design process, as well as creating a virtual twin of our real-life manufacturing floor processes. It's all very techie, very intense. And if you stuck with us that long, you should sign up for NVIDIA's GTC GPU Technology Conference. That's what it stands for.
Yeah. And I'm doing two classes. I'm on two different talks.
Well, you're doing a class and a panel.
Yes.
You have been upgraded to panelist.
Yeah, it's cool.
So who else is on this panel?
There's a person that's coming from Lockheed is on there.
And Lockheed then, Martin.
Yeah, Lockheed Martin.
Guns.
Well, they also do like airplanes.
Airplanes? Oh, I have no idea.
They do all kinds of stuff.
Okay.
Anyways.
Like cool stuff. Yeah.
They do some.
And maybe some from automotive.
There's an architectural consulting team. I forget the name now, but I looked them up and they make some really cool skyscrapers and like lattice structured like craziness. It looks cool. I'm excited.
So you have.
And it's also hosted by our very good friend, Mike Geyer.
Oh, he's hosting it?
Yeah. He's the one that's mediating it.
Okay.
Let's see if he can handle the mediation.
Skyscrapers. possibly military, but also you said aerospace.
Yeah.
And bicycles.
Yeah.
Oh, we always throw in the bicycles.
Yeah, I'm honored to be in the company of such crazy.
Well, you know what? Not everyone has a skyscraper, but everyone has a bicycle.
This is true. Most everyone. Everyone should.
I also wanted to mention that as the season starts, we are starting to get questions about the Pro Custom Cleat adapters, the 3D printed adapters we talked incessantly about. Always feel free to reach out to us, info@predatorcycling.com, and we can make 3D prints and custom ones and sizes and alleviate pedal stroke issues, knee pain, etc. And it also eliminate you having to stack wedges.
Yeah.
And to
also, if you have any 3D print, you know, additive parts for bicycles when it comes to like plastic accessory type parts, reach out. Like we make a lot of stuff. So.
Yeah. He's a 3D print cycling guru. Anyway, it's getting sunny again, so get out there, get some fresh air.
Yep.
And as you know, my 3.5-year-old says, ride a Predator, it's the fastest bike in the world. Okay, so we thank you for choosing to take some time with us, and we look forward to future breakaways. Look for us on Instagram and LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and in person here in Tennessee. We ask our listeners to please share, like, and subscribe. We're available on all major streaming platforms. Thanks for listening. Have a good one, and find some time to break away.